Revelation chapter 18, we're going to be reviewing some today. It's important that we understand as we progress through this, and it helps me as we go through the repetition. We did lose the message last week just at the close of the service. We heard that wonderful tune, and we are making some changes there, so that hopefully doesn't happen. Revelation chapter 18, we're going to begin reading with the first verse and read down through the eighth verse, so please follow these precious words with me. Revelation chapter 18, verse 1. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. He cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself, and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death, mourning, and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Father, it's so sad to have to read words as this, knowing that, as the scripture called them, waters, and we know that by your own definition in your precious word, the scripture confirms scripture, that it's multitudes of people of all classes will be taken and deceived by this woman. And I just ask, dear Lord, that we are out busy about doing your work, that we will make that number less. We will gain in power and strength for your cause and for giving out of the gospel. But we will bring out the truth to these folks that it's only through the precious blood of Christ that salvation can come. Only because of the cross can anyone be saved. And only by the Holy Spirit convicting our hearts and showing us who we are and what we are. And then being an ugly vessel that we are, also then doesn't just leave us there, but Father, you show us the way to your Son Jesus and the saving power that he has. What a precious gift you've given us. It's so clear and so simple. And yet, follow this Father, this world hates you and despises you and tries to turn all against you. And we see right here what's going to come to the close at the end. What a terrible time. What an awful time upon this earth. Now, Father, as we review for a few minutes and then get on into the lesson today, I just ask for your leadership and your wisdom. Touch every heart. Those that are lost, bring salvation into their hearts today. Make it so clear. And just, Father, please, that they do not refuse one more day, but they come today. And then, Father, for the saved, being a growing time and a time that turns our hearts to you and prepares us for service to you, dear Father. Grows us, strengthens us, brings us joy in our hearts through this time. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We started back in the 17th chapter. The 17th and 18th chapter here come together so closely that we just kind of have to review and bring it together again so that we don't miss any part of it. We have in the third verse, we have the woman on the beast. We have in the seventh verse, we have the beast with seven heads and ten horns. We have in the eighth verse, those that looked upon this sight and was amazed, and it's no believers, it's all lost people that are looking upon this in that fashion and are kind of taken by it, so to speak. We learn in the ninth and tenth verse that the seven heads is no other than Rome and also with her kingdoms that are with her. The ten horns that we have in the 12th verse we find to be the ten kings. We find in the 14th verse, as we studied last week, that this there is a strength, and the strength is in the Lamb. And the Lamb is none other than our Lord and our Savior that's going to come and be victorious over this great enemy, this liar and deceiver. And so we see that in verse 14. In verse 15, we find that this multitudes are going to be taken, deceived by this. Millions and millions of people will be deceived by this false religion that's here. We learned in the 16th verse that the ten kings will be under the control of the beast. And so as they will submit all of their strength, they will really receive their strength and their power. And those ten kings or ten kingdoms do not exist as of yet. They will come onto the scene just a little bit later as far as our time is concerned. So long as the beast goes along with the woman, with the harlot, the whore, all these are names for this woman. It comes down to one term, and that's to Rome. As long as the beast allows her power and authority, she will possess it. But when it comes to the time when the beast says that's enough, this woman and those that that follow her, she will fall. And so we need to understand the continual reign of this false religion. She is in her greatest day. Oh, she is just glorious in her garment, in her jewels, and her riches. And she is again seated upon the beast. And so being seated upon the beast gives us the look that she is in all power and all control. Well, again, in reality, the beast right now is the one that is controlling her. She just doesn't know it. She's kind of a puppet, and she's just doing what she glories in. There's a little bit of difference here, and we talked about that last week, and it needs to be repeated, and that the woman is the false religion. It's Rome. Everything is going to be seated there, and all the lies that come out and the deception that comes out from there, they have left the Word of God. But the beast, on the other hand, he wants more. He doesn't want to just be a religion and someone that teaches these lies and you follow me. But the beast is one step further than that. He wants to be God. He wants to be God. So that's the difference between these two. One desires to be God and the other just enjoys teaching false lies and deceives the world in the process. So you see the good that the woman does for the beast, because she tells all these lies, and then the beast can move right in and be God because they have left the Word of God. The day comes that anyone that decides that this word isn't true, this word isn't right, is a day that you can go down that road. Now, the day that you trust in Jesus as your Savior, that old devil can't have your soul, because you see, we're sealed. Once we're saved, we're kept by him. And what a promise, what a beautiful promise. The religions of the world don't teach that. They teach that I hope you get to heaven. If you did this, this, and this, then you might make it. Oh, Jesus died on the cross. And he died on the cross so that you and I can live. And to live, not be worried and burdened that I'm going to sin one time and then I'll go to hell for it. Jesus has taken all my sins away. And he put a seal upon me. And he did the same thing with every one of you that have trusted in Jesus as your Savior. And so we can live in joy and peace and excitement, not a point of fear every day. Well, this false teacher here, this woman, that's what she teaches. She teaches all these lies. And she takes the Word of God and she moves a couple of verses of Scripture. And she will teach this verse, and she will say that that's what this means. And you always can add another book or something for us to learn from. We have it. We have it from Genesis to Revelation. We don't need anything else. Stay with the truth, the Word of God, and don't leave it if you want salvation. Now, you can get saved. You can trust in Jesus. And then you can be lied to and deceived. And you can go away from the church. You can never attend church. You die. You'll suffer loss because you didn't serve him. You didn't praise him. You didn't honor him. But you didn't lose your soul because, you see, that's everything to do with Jesus, with Jesus. And so please don't think that there's anything we can do after we die because it's over. Don't think that there's that thought. Almost all religions of the world teach that you can lose your salvation. And you ask them how many? One sin, two sins, how many does it take to lose your salvation? Five little ones, one big one. What's it take to lose your salvation? That's how ridiculous it is. Because you see, we're born in sin. And if it's not the blood of Jesus that keeps us, there's nothing we can do. Because I guarantee you, when you die, you're going to have some unconfessed sin. And so you have no hope. If that's what I believed, if that's what the Word of God taught, I would not be standing in this pulpit. There'd be no reason for it, no purpose for it. None. What's the reason to get saved? What's the reason to serve Him if there's no hope of salvation? There is hope of salvation. Jesus died on the cross to save us. But you see, the world doesn't like that message. The world would rather have their ears tickled and rather have a country club type setting today. And we get the big screen and we get, some of these monstrous churches today. Why, they bring in the fast food restaurants in there. So that way you can be like a mall. You can go in and sit in the middle and you can go order your dinner here and watch a big screen as the preacher preaches. And boy, you feel good and you go home. I'm sorry, God's very disappointed in that kind of learning and teaching. He wants us to gather. He wants us to come and study the Word of God and learn the Word of God. But this harlot, she is out to deceive all. But there's a time, the Scripture tells us, and it comes here in this 16th verse of the 17th chapter, the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore. And so there's going to be a time when the beast, he wants to be God, and the harlot, she is taking too much credit. She's getting too much power. And that old beast is going to say, that's it. That is enough. And so when that takes place then, why these 10 kings that are 10 puppets for the beast, then they go after this harlot. And the Scripture tells us, number one, the harlot will be hated. Number two, the harlot will be desolate. Number three, the harlot will be made naked. Number four, her enemies will eat her flesh. And number five, the harlot will be burned with fire. And we went through the description of all that last week. Now, the 17th verse, we find out that God is in control. Because you see, as this all comes about, this is all God's plan. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And so God's destroying, he's using their own fleshly desires, their own ways of living, their own hunger for power and strength to destroy themselves. And here's these 10 kings, and whatever the beast says, they do. Even though it could mean death for them, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Whatever the beast says, they do. And God has put it into the heart that they be obedient to this beast. They're all very evil and very wicked. And so we have that. And, you know, this isn't the first time. Many times through the scripture, God will do the same thing. And God did it to Pharaoh back in Egypt. He hardened his heart, and it meant the destruction of Pharaoh. Well, it's the same thing here. God's hardening these people's hearts, and they have such a anger and a vengeance for this whore, even the one that had lifted up and designed everything for him, built it literally for him. It doesn't matter. They're going to go after her, and they're going to destroy her with a vengeance. And so this has happened before. And a verse of scripture that I read last week, and it's out of Romans 8:28, and this applies to us today. This applies from the beginning of time, and that is that, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So whatever you're going through today, whatever problem, whatever it is, just go to God, because he's going to lift you up and he's going to pick you up and he's going to take care of it. And then we come to the 18th verse of this chapter. The woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Babylon means confusion. And here you may be confused. And again, I thought this was worth review, because there are two Babylons. And that's the reason it kind of confuses you. One is ecclesiastical Babylon, the apostate church. And the other is political Babylon. And so we have the two. So all we're going from one side to the other side to the other side. And you kind of get confused of which direction we're going. And I wanted to repeat that. Daniel tells us when the Gentile world, their dominion begins, and now we're going to find here that it's going to come to an end. This ecclesiastical Babylon is referred to as the great whore. And at this time, nations, kings, kingdoms will all bow down to her and worship her in a great way. We know back in the ninth verse that the seven heads are seven mountains. There are the seven hills of Rome. This is the home of Babylon, the place in the future that this empire, this religious empire, will be built and set upon. And we know by history, what has taken place all these years in Rome. They have put out the most blasphemous doctrines of man, the teaching, the demands, what they put people through is so contrary to the Word of God for their salvation. It is a free gift. Jesus died on the cross for you. And so this woman is not Rome alone, but is a whole system. A system of idol worship. Now, verse 1 of chapter 18. After these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with her glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. If you'll notice that here comes this angel, and it's always the man, he. Now, we've got Bibles out today that's taken all the gender out. We just have all kinds of changes. You know, we've got this precious word here. Let's enjoy it. Babylon is still the subject here in this 18th chapter. We're not going to leave that. In this chapter, we're going to find a little bit different, because the beast is not named, nor is the 10 kings named in this chapter as we look at it. It is the destruction of Babylon, the destruction of the system that she made. This other angel Don't be confused as the seven angels and the seven vials that we've discussed in the past. This angel comes out of heaven, has great authority. This angel probably is one that God has committed to the judgment of Babylon. The second verse here, we have quite a statement. Babylon has fallen, has fallen. And so what a statement here as judgment is coming upon this. And he deals with the destruction of Babylon. It is the most ungodly religious system that has ever existed upon this earth at this time will be so prevalent. And again, let's look back to this verse of Scripture where we see the multitudes that we find are going to be a part of. In verse 15, the waters on which thou sawest where the whore sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Multitudes of people. It just almost like everybody during this time is deceived by this false teaching. And so, what a sad, sad day. We are told that the earth is lightened with his glory, this angel that's come onto the scene. This light that's shown from the angel as he ascends from heaven to earth. We don't know for sure who this angel may be. But we know that God is the righteous judge who is the head of all judgment. We know that. Babylon has fallen. It's just like it's already taken place. You know, in the Word of God, when something's here, it may have not have happened yet. It may not have come to pass at this time. It may not have come to pass in our time. But when it's put in the Word of God, it will come to pass. And so when he says things in here, it's just like, you know, you can write something in the newspaper. Let's throw out the weather. You know, let's do the weather. You know, how accurate is the weather? You know, you look at the weather, you look at the next 7 days of what we're going to have. Oh, it's going to be terrible hot, no rain. What's the chance tomorrow it's going to rain? And all of a sudden we get the weather and it rains all week long. You see, a politician stand up and they'll make a promise to you. And in days, in minutes, in hours, they've already lied to you and changed what they said they were going to do. Well, I changed my mind. God doesn't change his mind ever. What a wonderful promise. So when he tells us in his word that we're sealed, if we come to him by faith, we are sealed. When he says judgment's going to come upon the great whore, it'll come upon the great whore. When it tells us that judgment's going to come against the beast, judgment will come against the beast. And it's just as if it already has taken place. It's that sure in the mind of God. And that time is set. Nothing we do, nothing we say will change that time. Talk many times about there's a couple things in our life that we have no control over. One's the day we're born and the other's the day we die. Now, between those two points, we have something to do about it. And one is hopefully come to salvation so that when we face that day of death, we'll be ready. We'll be ready. We must know Jesus as our Savior. Babylon the Great has fallen. In the last chapter, we saw the beast, this civil authority, for a time allow the woman to be his master. She sat upon the beast in pride and total arrogance, you know, as she just picture this, a mighty steed. And here is this lady of this woman upon it and dressed in all the purple robes and everything. And as if a mighty queen of some sort or another. And she thought nothing or no one would take her down. Well, that time has come to an end. And only the saved, there were a few saved here. They saw through the lie. Everybody else was totally deceived. The city, as the scripture tells us, has become the habitation of devils or demons. Now, we're not sure what all these things are, but they literally come from the pits of hell. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. This old world has become a big cage of everything that's evil. Everything evil. Spirits, I mean, this is going to be the most wicked, wicked time upon this earth. All is the trueness of the devil is coming out. It's just spilling out. We don't know anything more than just that. And it tells us here in that third verse, for all nations have drunk with the wine of the wrath of her fornication. There are three. All nations have drunk with the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Number two, the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And number three, the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. We have three items there. And so the first is all nations have drunk with the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The people of the earth have quickly, and it's been going on for generations, have followed after these lies. Again, that's the reason that the churches that stand on the blood of Christ are just staying the same, or very little growth, very little. There's a lot of life there because we know Jesus, but the numbers are few because that old devil is at his work in deceiving multitudes. And so let's change the system a little bit. The religious system of our day is taken by what's coming here. Her beauty, her power, her riches. And you look at a lot of the cults that are out there today. A lot of what we call churches, and I'm sad to use that term because the church is only believers in Jesus Christ, but that's what we've put on the door. And there are a lot of places that have that name on there that are liars and deceivers because they have left the Word of God. They don't teach the Word of God anymore. They teach their own ways and philosophies. And again, they are taken by wealth and beauty. They will be totally ignorant to the Word of God, to the truth. They will believe the lie. And sometime this afternoon, go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 through 12, and read about this, the lie and the deception that comes there. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 7 through 12. And then we have today's religion. The main doctrine you could put on any church door or on their leaflet they'd hand out, here's my doctrine, they could put works. Just put works. That covers it all, whether they believe you have to be baptized to be saved or whether they believe that you have to take the Lord's Supper for the forgiveness of sins. You have to believe in a certain church. You have to stay at a certain church to be saved. All these things boil down to one word, and that's works. And so if we were to take the doctrine today of the churches today, throw in the cults all in the same thing, that would be their general doctrine, works. Any place that has a general doctrine of works, anything in it that involves works, is a lie and deception. And you have joined in early into the chorus and the choir of the great whore if you have joined in with the thought that works are necessary. We find them growing. The lies can be taught. And you ask folks that have confessed to be saved, why are you going there? This is what they believe. Well, I know, but they don't really preach that. I still ask, why are you going there? Let's go to a place that teaches the truth. Why do you want your children? Why would you invite someone to a place that teaches a lie? And yet it's constant. Next, we have the kings of the earth committed fornication with her, is number two in this third verse. This kings of the earth, don't be confused, because this is not the ten kings that joined the beast. This is the kings of the earth. The kings of the earth. They have bought in to her wealth philosophy. They have been deceived by the lies that she has told. And so we find the kings, the wealth and the beauty, get to heaven by works, get to heaven by following me. That's what the great whore teaches and preaches. She is known as the vicar of Christ, the intercessor between God and man. That's the position that she has put herself in. Because the false and apostate church exalts herself to such a height of a spiritual dictator, and that's what she'll be. Kings and great men of the earth all just flock to her. Oh, that's what they want. And then the third, the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. We've talked for years that you go to a certain town and you join a certain church. If you join this church, and it doesn't matter if you're Baptist, there's a certain church that you join that makes you money. It moves you up in society. Now, if you go to this church, they won't do nothing. If you go to this church, there's the right people there. They're saved. They're kind of saved. They act like they're saved. They say they're saved. But there's the important people of society are all here. And so you go there because then you'll bump elbows with the right people, you know. The Catholic Church is same way. You can go to this one if you want to be somebody, if you want to rub elbows with the right people to move up. It doesn't matter. Every denomination has that. They all have them. You go to this church if you want to move up in society. Well, what that means is money. And so you move up that political. These are the three groups that will wail and cry when the great whore is destroyed. When they see the beast raise up and destroy her, all these folks, every hope that they had is gone. That's the reason, my friend, you've got to know Jesus. Don't be deceived by things of this world. Go to the Word of God and trust upon the Word of God. Know the Word of God. All this is, you can say, Larry, this is all, you know, I read it, but I don't get any of that out of there. I may have all this exactly the way it's going to happen. I may not have it all exactly the way it's going to happen. And I can pretty well promise you I don't. It's God's plan and God's way. But I do know judgment's coming upon the great whore. And it is definite. I know that God's going to destroy the beast. I know there's 7 years of tribulation of which I don't want to be a part of. I don't want to be on this earth. I know that the last 3.5 years is going to be the most horrible years, time upon this earth. And the days come closer and closer to the end of that 7-year period, the worse it's going to be. I know that. Because the Word of God is clear about that. And who follows who and who does what to who? What's important is we know the Word of God tells us that this false religion, the apostate church, will be destroyed. And then the beast, the one that wants to be God, he too will be destroyed. And all will find their way to the lake of fire for eternity. Now, that's where you're going to be if you don't know Jesus. You may die before the tribulation starts. Well, you're not going to go there first. You're going to go to a place called torment, and the Scripture is very clear, a place of torment. You're going to go there, and you're going to remain there until the final judgment, and that will be at the close of the thousand-year reign of Christ. We've got 7 years tribulation, 1,000-year reign of Christ. At the close of that 1,000 years, that's when you'll be taken out of the lake of fire, and then you will join this wonderful group in the lake of fire, because that's where they're going to be. How long will you be there? Forever and forever and forever and forever. And my friend, I don't want to be there. I want to be with Jesus. I hope you've trusted in Jesus today. We're going to begin with that fourth verse next week. Please, I spent a lot of time in review, but we've got to get that in our minds. What's going on? Who's in control? Who isn't in control? What is going on? Well, God is in control. And God's bringing judgment to this false religion. And that's what we're seeing here. Let's close with prayer. Father, thank you today for your precious word. I just ask that you'll bring the light right to us, that every heart, every soul that's sitting here will have an ear to hear. And that means it goes right through that tube and right down into the heart. Listen. Know that this judgment's coming. And know, Father, please, that they know that there is a means of salvation. And that is just by faith. Say, Lord Jesus, please, please save me. We don't have to beg him. We just need to turn to him and have faith, trust in him, and he'll save us and seal us and keep us through this time. Not through the time of tribulation, because if you get saved today, dear Father, you'll take us home before it starts. Now, there's a glorious day. Father, please, touch every heart today. I hope that, Father, this word came into the heart and the mind straight and clear, that we understand what's going on, what's to come. It's your word. It's going to happen. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.